Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." Now turning to our gospel lesson found in the book of John, chapter 13, beginning in 31. Jesus here is predicting, is sitting at the Last Supper with his disciples, and Judas has just left the room to go and to betray Jesus. And so this 31 starts. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me just as I told the Jews. So I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Sorry. And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Simple enough. That's all we got to do. Love one another. We got that? We can go home. If I was at the rescue mission and I said that, the room would be empty by now. I have learned to be very careful if I say amen. It is a joy to be here with you. I look forward to being here with you on Sunday mornings. It is a joy to share the word with you. I learned so much in preparing to share the word with you, that it's quite a blessing. The commandment to love one another is given to us by Jesus in many different ways, but the very straightforward two ways he gives it is that he says you are to love one another as you love yourself. Don't you recall that when the legal scholar approached him and challenged him and said to him, "Which is the most important commandment?" Jesus turned the tables on him and said, "What do you say it is?" And the scholar said to him, "To love God with all your heart and your mind and your soul, and to love no other God." I paraphrase. And Jesus said, "Yes, you have answered correctly." And the second is very much like that. You are to love one another as you love yourselves. In these two, all of the scriptures are summed up. I paraphrase again. So when we say God is love, we know that God is so much more than just love, but knowing how God loves gives us all that we need to know about God. All that we need to know about His character, about His nature, about His desires for us. So what does God know about us in the same way? What word could God use to sum up each and every one of us, His people? Our hope, of course, is that God would sum up us as love. Love for one another, love for God. But we know that quite often that's not the case. That I am not always loving as I ought to be. I was speaking to one of my brothers yesterday about some things going on in the world, and he said, "Well, Bill, you know, Scripture says, judge that you be not judged." And I said, "Yeah, that's always a favorite, isn't it?" I said, if you just took that one out of context and didn't read the rest of the Bible, it would be pretty good news. Because part of the thing that keeps us from loving one another unconditionally is judgment. When Jesus said that we are to judge that we be not judged, He was not saying that we are to accept every kind of behavior as okay. Jesus, when He freed, when he pardoned the woman who had been caught in adultery, and don't you recall the story when they brought her to her and said that Scripture says she must be that the punishment for adultery is death by stoning. And Jesus kneeled down and wrote in the dust something that remains unknown to us, and said that the one of you without sin cast the first stone. And they left the room, starting with the oldest all the way to the youngest, leaving only Jesus and the woman standing there. And Jesus stood up and said, "Where are your accusers? Are there none left?" And she said, "None, Lord." She acknowledged that He was Lord. And He told her that, "I will not accuse you either. Go and sin no more." He didn't tell her, "What you did wasn't bad," or I'm not going to judge you. He said, "I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to hold you responsible for what you've done." He said, "Do not continue to sin." So He acknowledged her that what she had done was wrong. Where we get into problem with loving one another frequently is in that judgment thing. The judgment thing does not mean that we need to take everything that we've learned from the Bible and from the Word of God and say, "Well, you can have your own interpretation, that's okay." That's not what it's all about. The judgment thing is for me to look at somebody and say, "You said that because you have evil in your heart." That's judging. Or for when someone does something that I don't like, I say, "You're a bad person." Or I say, you're just saying that because you want my job. Or you're only doing that to drive me away. Or you're doing that because you're jealous. What Jesus is saying to us when he said, do not judge, that you be not judged, he said that you will be judged by the same manner as you judge others. So when we judge other people's hearts, we are trying to take on the role of God. It is absolutely okay to judge other people's actions. Matter of fact, we are commanded to, when we see one of our brothers or sisters living outside of the Word of God, to bring them, to go and talk to them. And if they won't listen to us trying to work with them to set their lives straight, we're to bring another with us as a witness. And if that doesn't work, we're to bring them before the church to help them to turn their lives around. That is what the Scripture says. It doesn't tell us to accept all forms of behavior as I'm okay, you're okay. What it says is that we are not to judge their hearts, their feelings, their motives. Because Scripture tells us that only God knows the motives of man. Only God knows our hearts. Now, to turn it around in a way that I personally find very scary, God knows my heart. And that's a very serious thing for me. That God does know my heart. God does know those things that I think that I wouldn't want to have displayed on a scrolling light going across the back of the... I wouldn't want to have that all on a scrolling thing up there, what Bill's thinking at any given moment. That would be bad. I don't know about you, but it would make me very ready to go hide someplace. So when we talk about loving one another, one of the things that really gets in the way is for us not only being upset to someone for God to do something that would have been thoughtful, or upset to somebody did something that was thoughtless, in our opinion, we not only get upset about what they did or they didn't do, but we also, in our minds, decide why it is they did or didn't do what they did. And that is judging. That is the judgment. It's not the judgment of the deed, but it's the judgment of the personality, the thought, the motive, the mind, the heart. And that, we are told by Scripture, is to be left to God. We are not to indulge in that. God has said, don't do that. That's not for you. Leave it to me. Judge not that you be not judged. So what it is that we need to do is to practice that. You know, some of the toughest professions in the world say that they practice their profession. And others say that they master their profession. In truth, we all practice our profession. We all have to, we learn over time, we strive to do better, we strive to be good at it. Whether it's our profession or our hobby or our passion, we practice it. And we need to give the same time and attention to our love of God and our love of His people. Learning to love one another as Jesus has loved us takes practice. It's not a matter of a decision. It's not a matter of, I've been saved, therefore I love everybody. Everybody who is saved is going to love me. Not, doesn't quite work that way. What it does is that the Holy Spirit within us does motivate us, does tug at our hearts, does convict us of our sin, so that we can practice looking at people and taking them at face value. And when they do something that we feel is wrong, it's absolutely okay to acknowledge that it's wrong, but leave out the reason that they did it, because you don't know. because that's judging, and that's left to God. And nothing upsets people more than telling them why they did something you don't like. Just think about how much more upset you get when someone says, I don't like what you did, and I know, and the reason you did it is fill in the blank. And telling you what you did, you know what you did. I mean, you know, that's not a secret. You did it. You know what you did. But telling you why you did it makes you furious. The secret that is very difficult for us to learn is that I am a lot like you. You are a lot like me. And if it hurts you, it also hurts me. And if it hurts me, it also hurts you. And so that's why we are told to remove the beam from our own eye before we attempt to pull the splinter out of our friend's eye. That is why we're told we need to get in touch with what upsets us, what offends us, what phrases trigger us, and then get those phrases out of our language. Get those statements out of our conversation. Because you can't love people when you are telling them every time you turn around why they're doing what they do that you don't like. It's simple enough to say that this upsets me. That's all. This makes me feel uncomfortable. I really wish you wouldn't say that in that way. I wish you'd find a nicer way to tell me that. You don't have to say, I know you just do that to hurt my feelings. Not that any of you ever said something like that, but some people do. What I'm trying to say is that loving one another starts in our families and our friends and our relationships. And only then can we move outside that range. Christ says that they will know that you are mine because of your love. And loving people means that we have to throw away this stuff about thinking that we know why they think what they think and they do what they do and they say what they say. It's very practical. What Jesus gave us as a commandment is very practical. He even said, I give you a new commandment. And so he's putting it, when he did this, he put this on the same level as the Ten Commandments. I give you a new commandment. This is the only 11th commandment. We hear people talk about the 11th commandment all the time. Well, this is the 11th commandment, is to love one another as Christ loves us. We can't love our family and our brothers and sisters in Christ unconditionally when we put conditions upon it. I'll love you if you just stop doing this, because I know why you do it. That's a condition. When Christ says to us that nothing can ever separate you from my love. Neither heights nor depths nor principalities and things from below or things from above. Nothing is too wide or too deep that can separate us from the love of Christ. What he's telling us is that his love for us is unconditional. He does have commandments for us. To love one another as we love ourselves, to love one another as he has loved us. He does tell us that we have to live our lives and believe in him and trust in him with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul. Yes, he does do that. He does. He is God. And he does have demands for us. But his love is not conditioned upon those things. Now, how do I know that? Well, I know that because Christ calls us, the Holy Spirit calls us, while we are yet in sin. So the love is already there before we are in any way lovable. The love for us is so great that he calls us even in our condition of sin. And that's unconditional love. So how we are to love one another is very, very important. And it's something that we have to work at and change and really strive to make it our way of life. Is that we catch ourselves when we start to say something. That we catch ourselves when we start to think something. When we catch ourselves when we start to judge why it is that a person does something. Sometimes we even judge people when they do good. Somebody does something for you and you say, think, I wonder what they want. It's not like them to call me just out of the blue. They never call unless they want something. Well, this is the first time they've ever remembered my birthday. I wonder what they're up to. You see, it creeps into our lives in so many little ways. It's, you know, it's one of those things that when we look at it at first, we think that judging people and judging what they're thinking, we think of it as something that other people do. But it's something that we do, and we do it all day, every day. I do it. And it's very difficult to break the habit of doing it. But you work at it. You practice it. You train your mind. You train your thoughts. You train your tongue. And this is love. This is part of loving one another. Is to train ourselves. And if you love people, it's important that we work on these. If we don't care about them, then it doesn't matter. But if we want to be loved by Jesus Christ and to do and to keep his commandment to love one another as he loves us, it's something worth doing. It's something worth putting effort into. It's something worth teaching ourselves to do it. And it's something that we all do badly at times. It makes great novels when you see the novelists write these things. And we love to read a book or watch a movie where someone's thoughts are being revealed that they know not only what it is somebody's doing, but why it is they're doing it. And it really is very interesting to look at. And the reason that we find it so entertaining is because it's so familiar. The reason it makes such good literature, it makes such good movies, is that it's so familiar because it's home. It's right where we live. It's about us. And yet we can look at it somebody else and feel very self-righteous about it. So it's really good stuff when we see it there. But it's not so good when we examine our own hearts, our own lives, our own tongues, the way that we deal with people on an everyday basis. Jesus Christ so loved the world, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he did this while we were yet in sin. Amen.